This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, joins us. Ron, welcome to the show. Not much has changed. Polls are all, they're shifting almost daily. You know, and when you dig deep in some of these polls, everybody's kind of pulling out characteristics to make their case. What's your feel?
Right. Yeah, I think that's definitely true, although one thing I would point out is that the polls that have been most recently reported, and that's as of today, show, I think, some movement in the swing states towards Trump. It's not much, it's very little, but he tends to be leading. When I say leading, in some cases it's 1 point, it's a half a point in more swing states than Harris is leading. And one of the interesting pieces of movement we've seen, I think, over the last couple of weeks is a week or two, we were seeing poll numbers from Michigan, which is a critical state. It's part of what Democrats call their blue wall of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And a couple of weeks ago, Michigan was showing Harris ahead by anywhere from 2, 3, 4, and sometimes 5 points. But the most recent polls are showing it just about even. In fact, one or two of the recent polls show Trump ahead by a point. And a number of local politicians in Michigan, including Debbie Dingell, who's a member of Congress, someone I speak to occasionally about what's going on in Michigan, and she says that, and she said this publicly, that that Michigan is a dead heat right now, and that Harris doesn't have a lead there, and she thinks it's possible Trump's vote could be underestimated, and it's really up for grabs. So again, this election, as it moves on, continues to look like Harris has the best chance now of winning the national popular vote. She's about 3 points ahead in the latest polls in the national popular vote, but in the swing states that will determine who will win the electoral college, Trump has a very, very slight advantage.
What do you, obviously, everyone talks about the October surprise. I kind of believe almost every day there's a surprise. there's so much information coming out as to what's going on. I mean, it's just it's crazy. It's hard to keep your finger on the pulse of it.
Sure. And, you know, it's a lot of people expect the so-called October surprise to be something that's orchestrated by one side or another. Some people, you know, think of it as being an uncontrollable event, like a foreign policy event or something like that. So it's hard to say what you mean by an October surprise. The present situation with Israel and Hezbollah has the potential of being something of an uncontrollable event, because, you know, we don't know where that's going. And that could very well be a very, you know, big event, and increasingly so. So we don't know where that's going. And maybe if there is an October surprise, it could be something that's happening in terms of these foreign conflicts. Some Democrats were saying yesterday that the new Jack Smith report that came out was the October surprise. But I really don't see that, because even though there was new and some interesting information he put out, it wasn't significantly different than the kinds of things people have been hearing about Trump for years now. So I'm not sure that would be considered such a surprise.
And I don't know who's trying to figure out their strategy, but I think it hurts their position as opposed to helping their position by engaging in these timed, you know, legal actions that are out there. They actually are making his case, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the one time where, you know, there were two October surprises that had the potential of affecting presidential races in somewhat modern history. One was in 1968 during the Vietnam War. Lyndon Johnson was not running for re-election. His vice president, Humphrey, was. And that race had really closed up and was up for grabs. And right before the election, just a few days before, Johnson made a dramatic announcement about, you know, the negotiations with the North Vietnamese and a bombing halt and all that sort of thing. And most people thought it was the October surprise to help Humphrey. As it worked out, Humphrey still lost. So it wasn't particularly effective. One, from a standpoint of a natural disaster, was in the 2012 presidential election between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney was running a very close race with Obama, and in some of the polling was actually ahead a point or two. But then you had the big super, they call it the superstorm, that hit the East Coast and got a tremendous amount of press coverage. And the media sort of went from covering the presidential election to covering that storm, mostly in the last week before the election. And it deprived Romney of being able to continue to build his momentum. And it also gave President Obama a chance to show his executive ability in a disaster situation. And so that was an event that may have had some effect. But generally speaking, you know, if it is some orchestrated effect that's timed, you know, that looks like anyway that it's timed for political purposes, it's not going to really have much effect.
Let's pivot to the VP debate. A lot of folks talking about that. I left with the feeling that both of these candidates articulated the policy positions of their running mate better than their running mate has. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that was right, and I certainly thought that was right as it related to Trump and the Vance. I thought it was the best performance we've seen from Vance during the election. I haven't been particularly impressed with his speeches so far, but I thought he did an excellent job in that debate. And, you know, in terms of getting across what he wanted to get across. And of course, you know, Tim Walz tends to be a very likable person, and you know, he hung in there fairly well. But I do think Vance probably did better. Most of the polling is showing that he did. But, you know, is it helping the Trump's candidacy? It's hard to say. You know, on the one hand, you could look at some of the recent polls that have been done since then, and it does show a little slight bit of movement for Trump, but we don't know whether that has to do with campaigning going on in the swing states or whether it had to do with Vance's performance in the debate.
But typical for campaigns in this last, 30 days now, you want, you know, momentum builders, right? You want the positives to outweigh the negatives so that you're consistently creating momentum in order to peak on November 5th.
Sure, absolutely. And you also have to remember, too, that, you know, we have early voting going on. and early voting will be stepping up over the next few weeks. And so it's and we've talked about this in the past, but early voting, while voters like it, I often vote early myself, but it does increase the cost of campaigning because you can't wait until the day before the election to crest. You have to crest like every day for the last month. And that takes a lot more money in campaigns. I've seen it locally, and I think the same is true in terms of a presidential race.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see over the next 30 days because it's funny, both of these candidates have this uncanny ability of putting their foot in their mouth. and even one that's not even talking that often out there and as opposed to Trump, and then Trump on the other side, it's there are things that are coming our way that it's like, you kind of grimace. You say,
yeah,
okay, let's rock and roll.
Right. Well, and that's the reason why, even though people continue to say there's no undecided, it's a 50-50 race, there are undecided voters. And what a lot of people keep forgetting is that some of the people who are for Harris and some of the people who are for Trump actually are just parked there until they find some reason to go to the other side or to get off of them. So there's still persuasion that needs to be done on a number of voters in this race. And it's not over yet. It continues to go on even though people have started voting.
Yeah, interesting. As always, Ron Fauché, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
That's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. You can just Google Lunchtime Politics and you'll find his publication that's put out, and you can sign up for it and receive it. I read it religiously. And he brings together a number of different polls and works out averages so as to not place too much importance on one or the other. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.